Happy Tuesday.
Good morning, everybody. It is the 23rd of April, 2024. Chag Sameach.
Chag Sameach.
Yeah, happy Passover, everybody.
Yes.
It's Pesach.
It is.
Makes us want to sing, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It's a beautiful, gosh, what a beautiful remembrance. What a beautiful past, present, and future it represents. My goodness.
Yes, and so dear to our hearts. It's a time of remembrance, a time of feasting, a time of the Lamb.
Yes.
We love the Lamb.
We do. Yeah.
Except the Lamb of the living God.
Yes. Yeah. So we are so happy to be celebrating, remembering. With that, there will not be live stream tonight because here we will be having our Pesach dinner. And so looking forward to that.
We hope that everyone knows that live stream is available and you can watch it when we have it. But we, you know, normally it's lots of fun to be able to praise God together.
And yeah.
So the link's at the website if you ever want to join us.
Yeah. And if you miss one, it's recorded and you can go back to it just like the podcast.
So. Yeah. You can go back and watch videos of yesteryear.
Yes. And we did not podcast last week. We'd missed saying that on the last podcast. We were in the fitting room and we just like to give our whole focus and attention to that time. So
we do. We've had a couple of exceptions where something was going on and God's like, no, you need to do a podcast. So we did.
Yeah.
But usually we're all focused on the fitting room and that's a beautiful thing.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So shout out to our couples from Fitting Room 20. We're missing you guys.
We are. We love you. And what a glorious time we had.
Mm-hmm.
God did good things.
God did great things. Oh, my goodness.
So true. We're having such a beautiful day this morning, guys.
Yeah, it's look at that.
Really lovely.
Yeah.
Blue skies and the sun's just showing up at the trees. And
yeah, really grateful for windows.
Windows are nice.
Yeah.
We have a lot of windows in our office, don't we?
We do, yeah.
No shortage.
We do.
Yeah.
We do, yeah.
So it's
a good
nice
thing.
Well, for Pesach, I just want to do a quick notation, Exodus 12, verse 13. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So again, that's Exodus 12, 13. And the Passover story we all know very well, and we don't read those verses every single year, but sometimes it's kind of nice to just remember that it's there and what an incredible story that it was that God rescued the people and did so with a spotless lamb. Mm. And so it's always our reminder of our King Jesus. So last night, which officially Pesach began at sundown. So last night we were doing our thing, shopping and having a glorious time because we love to shop. And as the Pet Shop Boys once said, S-H-O-P-P-I-N-G. And so we were shopping and we were at one of the department stores that are multi-level. This was a three-level one. And what we found is that the escalators going up were working great. But there was a big problem if you wanted to go down because it wasn't that the escalators were off, you know, so our stairway would move and we could go up. We just stand on it, just take us right up, no big deal. But then if we wanted to go back down, we had a problem because not only were they off, but the down escalators were actually deconstructed. Mm-hmm. Like there was no place to put your feet. The stairs were removed and it would have been a very bad experience trying. So we saw that, you know, and of course the good news was is that there was a way down. We just had to take an elevator to get down. So obviously we were still spoiled. But it was a picture. And so as I was kind of praying about that, Elohim just spoke about it and said, the machine of escalation is powerful right now. Mm. but the ability to de-escalate is being removed. So if you look at this pictorially, it's like there is a power that the dragon is breathing upon for things to escalate, but there is an intentional removal of ways to de-escalate. And so one of the ways you could translate that is that the objective of that kingdom of darkness is to escalate the world into war. So here's Proverbs 17, verse 14. The beginning of strife is like letting out water. So quit before the quarrel breaks out. So what we're seeing in the world right now is war, of course, but also we have a lot of countries in certain areas and continents that are preparing for war because all of the signs are there. It's kind of feeling like maybe 70, 80, maybe 80 years ago, and that's disconcerting for all of us. We see this in Europe, we see this in the Middle East, we see this in parts of Africa. But one that's really standing out for all of us, I think, is what we're seeing in Israel right now. And we see an escalation of hostilities taking place. So, and the most alarming that we're seeing is as far as the escalation of hostilities go, is with Iran. And we saw that Israel bombed the Iranian embassy in Damascus, Syria, on the 1st of April. And so that happened, and that was condemned by many countries. And then Iran retaliated on the 13th of April. So that's 10 days ago today. Iran retaliated with drone and missile attacks. So then Israel retaliates with airstrikes on the 19th of April. So that's 4 days ago. So the time between strike and retaliation is actually shrinking, and we don't want that to happen anymore. And obviously, I don't say this to in any way avoid what's happening in Gaza. That's the root of all of this, of course. And we are praying for peace for all people in that region. But this particular sign that we're seeing is an escalation of hostilities. And when you see the picture of the escalators, it's a real signpost from heaven that says that there is all of the machinery for escalation is in place. It's the de-escalation that is being removed so that if you take a step towards war, you are the enemy's trying to make it so that we cannot take a step back. And once you see that, that is a very powerful message to every maturing son or daughter of God, that we have something to respond to, and the world does as well. So here is Hebrews chapter 12, and this is verses 14 through 15. So strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God. What a powerful sentence right out of Hebrews. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. And so this whole idea that in our walk of life, we want everyone to obtain the grace of God. And that the authors of Hebrews are saying, see to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God. And so there's a powerful message in that, especially in the context of this the season we're in Pesach, where the kingdom of darkness has removed the infrastructure for de-escalation. The kingdom of darkness is working full time, as we've been saying for many years now, but especially in February, we said that there is a goal of division. There is a goal to divide the peoples of the world and to lead the world to war. You can go up, but you cannot go down the same way that you went up. So what are our options? Well, like we saw last night, to go down by another route, another route, which is, in this case, it was elevators, but in the world right now, it's to choose peace. So Hebrews 12:14 said, strive for peace with everyone. So there's this point in our life when our pride is demanding that we be proven right, but God is saying, rise above our pride and be reconciled in peace. So here's Jesus. We're not going to go anywhere without the King, right?
No.
So blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons or children of God. So that's Matthew 5, verse 9. Now, this is our King. And, you know, we have to stop looking at this as if you do this, then you will be this, that kind of thing. That's kind of a mindset of our modern day. And it can be a Greek mindset as well. But in the Hebrew mindset, you would look at this as being equal sides. So in other words, the children of God are peacemakers.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're called to be.
Yeah.
We're called to make peace. And so knowing that the dragon is trying to divide us and trying to lead us to war, we must all remain on alert, because the temptation to act without pausing, without contemplation, is very high. In fact, and this is my sentence of the day, the potency of reaction is at an all-time high right now. There is a potency to us reacting, and that's what the enemy wants us to do, is react. And what God's calling us to do is to pause. And so if someone reacts when we're in a conversation with them, will we be offended or will we pause? And in this season of Passover, what if we allowed death to pass over us all by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of Jesus, when we repent and when we forgive both?
Yeah.
So all obviously have fallen short of the glory of God. And if we know that going into life, what if we just avoided war? What if, like Solomon said, the beginning of strife is like letting out water? So quit. Quit before the quarrel breaks out in Proverbs 17. So yeah. What if we choose to avoid war and choose peace instead? What if we loved each other just like Jesus did, and we avoided all of this by not reacting? And if we receive the reaction of another, don't be offended. So this is a season of the blood of Jesus. This is the season of Passover. This is our Pesach. This is our time that is all about love. It's all about forgiveness. It's all about trust. It's all about rest. It's all about knowing that God is the God of peace, and our King associates being a maturing son or daughter of God with peacemaking. So let's lay down our pride.
Yeah.
Let's just reconcile. Let's love. Let's avoid the conflict before it happens and love each other. Hallelujah and Chag Sameach.
Yes. Yeah. That's such an incredible connection, boy. Mm. That's so good. Mm. You know, when we did go to the elevator, we encountered a couple that was also waiting for the elevator. And my description of them would be that you could tell they were very weary just from the experience. And it was very similar to our experience. They had one thing, you know, you could tell they had come to get something specific, which is what we had done. We went to get one specific thing. And in the store we were at, we had not found it. And so we're on our way to, you know, to another spot. And they did have their item. But when we were getting on the elevator, they just expressed their weariness from just being at the mall. And then, you know, the escalator being out. But it was about the people they encountered. And they felt very just pulled at, I think, by conflict, by just doing something every day, something simple, but they both had an encounter with someone that caused them to feel like there was this escalation. You know, that wasn't the word they used, but putting it together, they were just like, goodness, we just came shopping, you know, and we chatted together, and you said something, and we all laughed, and it, like, you felt that de-escalation, you felt the peace come, and you know, they were like, thank you for hearing us, you know, and it was really lovely. And you know, we were out, we were looking for the item we were looking for, because we were already going to be out, because we have some very dear friends that really wanted to get to celebrate with us Pesach at the beginning of the time. So knowing, you know, sundown, and in fact, you know, we finished our meal before sundown, and they were like, oh, look, you still, you know, you get to go and have that intimate time. And these are friends of ours that are of people of great faith with a much different expression than we have, which has always been something that has drawn us together. And it's just every time we're together, it leads to the most beautiful conversations. And
yes, it does.
And just prayer together, just love it so much. And so we felt like we got to have a Seder of sorts with them, you know. And so we met together for that, to just kind of, they just wanted to be with us and how we were going to remember the Lord. I mean, what an invitation that was. So we did. We got to go through the Seder in a very unique way. And, you know, part of that time, part of being put in order and recognizing the beautiful order of our God is that, you know, when the people from the beginning, you know, that first Passover meal, they were recounting their freedom from slavery. They were, you know, recounting that everything that felt like peril until they came to praise. And so that was the first Pesach meal. And everyone after that were people coming together. And for some time, it was people that had walked through that, had come through the Red Sea, had come through that passage from slavery to freedom. And really, you know, this was the birth of a nation. It was the birth of the first missionaries, you know, and through that, you know, the mission was to tell about who God was, you know, through sharing their experience and who God became to them. So at some point, they were sitting at a table with someone who hadn't lived through that. Even so, the story is shared as if everyone lived it, because, you know, and all the recounting in the Seder is about, we were slaves, you know, and there's, the whole story is told, and every person at the table recounts it as if it was their story. And truly it is, because we've all been enslaved at some point in our journey, maybe multiple times. We've been, you know, just, we've cowered beneath something. We've been enslaved to something that now we're free from. And even that first Pesach, there were the Egyptian people that had come through that passage with them that are, you know, they were in a different kind of slavery, you know, and recognized that and sought freedom too. And so getting to sit at a table with someone and recount those things together, you know, in our time where our experiences are different, yet there's this common thread that runs through, that we've all been captured by something instead of captivated by our God at times. And so getting to do that last night was just such a sweet gift from the Lord, you know, to us, to the four of us. And there was this moment, you know, we hadn't seen each other for just a bit. It hadn't been that long, but enough to really catch up with each other. You know, we text often and that kind of thing, but it's different than just sitting at a table with no device, you know, transmitting for you and just telling your story, you know, from the last point till now. And, you know, really getting to share all the things that the Lord had done, and also getting to share, you know, the journey of experiencing the withness of God, you know. And there were times on both of the couples' counts where we shared some hard things, you know, we had walked through, and then the place of freedom we had come to, and there was this exchange between us of something that I, you know, it's just what I want to share about today, which came, it's what the Lord was revealing. I'm always looking for, what have I not seen in this story? What connections have I not seen yet? You know, not have I missed, but now is when you want to reveal that. And so I'll come to the exchange we got to have. In my just curiosity, you know, that's just our word for this year, to just be curious, to delve deeper into things, into each other, most especially. I started seeing this connection that I hadn't before between Moses' experience at the burning bush and Moses' experience with when the love letter was being written and being given to him as the supernatural solution for everything. So then just in amazing ways, Papa just brought, you know, just brought these connections, got me to where I needed to be to find these connections through different places. And so that's been a lot of fun, honestly, just to look for. So in seeing these connections between the burning bush and the giving of the love letter, it's just really cool. So because we get to look at stories we know through another lens. So when Moses came to the burning bush, he was shepherding the sheep of his father-in-law, and he was leading those sheep through a desert, and he came to the mountain of God. And that same thing happened when Moses came. So they're coming through the wilderness, and Moses is leading the people, or the sheep, through a desert, and it's the sheep of the Father, the people of God that he's leading through, but it's a very similar experience. He is responding to God for this journey that they're on. And so he's leading the people through and comes again, not just to a mountain, but the same mountain. And it's the mountain of God. And so in the burning bush, we know the story that there's this bush that's full of fire, but it's not being consumed. It's just a blaze, and it draws Moses to the presence of God. And so the same thing happens at Sinai when Moses and the people are coming through, and God descends upon the mountain in fire, but the mountain wasn't burning. And it's just this similar picture. The mountain was still there. The bush was still there. And the Lord calls to Moses and in both places and says something very similar in the call. And as he calls, he says something both times to Moses, which is, you know, don't touch. There's a perimeter. I want to encounter you. I want to speak to you. And so as going through the story, there's something that the Lord says he starts the conversation with. And at the bush, the Lord said, you know, at the burning bush, it was this very private conversation, but it is very similar to the conversation atop the mountain the second time. So the first time at the bush, the Lord says, I am the God of your fathers. You know, so the Lord's identifying himself to Moses because Moses hasn't had an encounter like this. He knows of God, and, you know, he's been rescued by God. You know, that his story is marked by rescue, but still he hasn't had an encounter like this. So he says, I'm the God of your fathers. And then when he's at the mount, atop the mount for the love letter to be released, the Lord says, I am your God. So it moves from I am the God of your fathers to I am your God. And so now he's talking about this personal relationship, though it's gonna go public for all the people. And one of the things that the Lord says is, I took you out of bondage. And that is really significant that was said, because it reveals something about God that will go with the people from there. Because basically the Lord is saying, I've heard their cries. Like, I know, I understand that there is sorrow. I understand there is suffering. I understand that there is pain. And so there's something revealed about the Lord, and it is, I think there's two ways to say this word, compassion or empathy. And so basically the Lord has said, I'm experiencing what the people are experiencing. I'm with them in this as close as possible. I am in this, and I'm moved by it. I'm moved by my understanding of it. And, you know, this is what we just talked about at that Pesach meal. That's this exchange that we're invited to, even though we haven't walked through exactly what the person at the table with us has, we can feel it deeply and be moved by it, moved to a certain place. So in Hebrew, the word for empathy really is the same, very similar to compassion, and it's rahamim or rahem. It's that word for womb, and it means the ability to connect with others on a deep and nurturing level, like a mother and a child. And one of the descriptions is, regardless of background, regardless of difference in background, different experience, is you put yourself in someone's shoes to experience or feel what they felt in their experience. And so it's this place of no judgment, but this place of empathy or compassion. And so the Lord talks to Moses about how deeply he feels for the people. And It's this really beautiful revelation of who God is. He says, I will go down to save them. I am the God of empathy. And so there's this exchange that Moses and the Lord have. And so when the Lord calls Moses, I'm going to send you to these people, there's an interesting, we'll call it a response that Moses has. It could have been a bit of a reaction. So at the burning bush, the Lord says, I am the God of your fathers. And at the Ten Commandments, he says, I am the God of you. And this name is given, that's the mysterious name of God. And it's spelled Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. And there's something that the sages say that you find in the Midrash and in the commentaries, that really God was introducing himself as empathy. and that the name, I'll come to that, but the name he gave actually, when he says, I am, it's describing that. I am the God who feels, I am the God who moves. So, so he says, I'm going to go down to save them. I care so deeply. And so he sets some really important things in motion, going from this like private conversation to a public conversation that's for everyone, trying to reveal who he is for the world. And so in that first exchange, he's in this conversation where Moses starts to give, he gives these five reasons, I can't do this, he says. And the Lord comes back with really a rebuttal to each one. And so it's a mirroring of the Ten Commandments. So at the bush, Moses is like, five reasons I can't. And the Lord is like, five reasons why you can, you know. And then when we come through, when the people come to Mount Sinai, these Ten Commandments are given. And so the first command, the first of the Ten Commandments is, you'll have no other gods before me. And so at the bush, the Lord just identifies himself as the one who comes, the one who feels, the one who is moved on behalf. And so this is that connection, like there's no one else. You know, the Lord says to Moses at the bush, he says, I'm with the people. I'm so with them. I feel what they're feeling. And he identifies himself to Moses, and Moses says, okay, that's who you are. Who am I? And because Moses feels like nobody in this conversation. And the Lord says, you're someone. You're someone to me, and you're going to know that because I'm with you too. And so this, there's no other God. You know, he tells him, I'll be the words in your mouth. I will be everything you need me to be in these moments. And so so that just ties to that first command. And then we come to a second exchange at the burning bush where, you know, Moses says, again, who am I that I should go? How can I possibly take the people out? And then he says, you know, I'm sending you, and here's a sign that it'll bring you right back to this moment. And he, you know, he's identified himself as the God, and that he's going to be with them, and you're going to go and you're going to remember this moment where we had this exchange. That's your sign. That's your sign. I have never been more present to you than I am right now. So they, you know, this continues on. You are, and you know, and this is where the Lord is just saying, I am. And then, you know, Moses repeats it in his own way. Who am I? And I'm going to be with you. I'm with them, and I am now with you. I'm with them in the pain, and I'm with you in your times of trouble. And really begins to reveal the image of God that is always with Moses, because it's within Moses. The image and likeness is there. That's the depth of this. And so this moment ties to the second commandment, which is, you will have no graven images. You will make no image of anything that can save you. I'm the one that can save you. And so, but in it, it's really this conversation of, you are the image. You are the image. Don't destroy it. Don't betray me by forgetting that. The within is the greatest gift that you can ever have. And you give back that withinness when you don't betray my presence for you, when you don't betray that I am with you. I'm the one that is walking through this with you. And And so, you know, Moses has this choice to make, but there's a continuing conversation. And so you come to this third exchange at the burning bush, and Moses says, Hanani, so I'm going and I'm going to tell them that God sent me, you know. And so who are you? You know, Moses asks, I need to be able, you're asking me to represent you. I'm in your image now. What is your name? You know, what is the fullness of your name? And the Lord says that I am, I will be that which I will be. I'm not just with you, I'm with them. And basically the Lord begins to express this timelessness to Moses, that I am time, I'm timeless, and expresses this idea that so, I think, still can be foreign to us because of how we interact with each other, which is my attention to you in this is not going to be fragmented. It will be as if there is no one else in the room. And, you know, for us, we're often talking to each other. Our phone is held up. And if we're, you know, noble enough to, I'm really going to focus on you, we put it to the side, but it's still buzzing, right? And we hear every buzz, and we make that choice not to pick it up, you know, most of the time, but still it's there. And there's something that fragments our attention from each other. But here, the Lord is revealing this unfragmented attention, this unfragmented care of us, and that it is as if no one is in the room, and basically says, he reveals this part of them that says the past, the present, and the future are blended. So I'm in your past, I'm in your future, and I am with you now, and there's no division between those things. I'm timeless. I'm going with you, not just to the Pharaoh. I'm going with you throughout all of time. And all of time is going to collapse into this present moment. It's going to become singular. I'm through all of it. And so there's this revelation in the name that is given. And then that third commandment at Sinai is, don't take my name in vain. Don't take my name in vain. Recognize all that's in that. You know, there's a word for past in Hebrew, which is hayah, and then there's a word for future, which is yeah, mostly. And then the present is havay. And if you take the letters within those words and overlay it together, it becomes Yud Hey Vav Hey, which is the name of God. I am the past, I am the present, I am the future. This is such a concentrated existence that you can't even fathom. So don't take my name lightly. I exist in all these places. No matter where you are, I exist in them. Don't take my name in vain, because it reveals how powerfully I am with you. Don't take this name lightly. And, you know, so this is the invitation that he gives to Moses to recognize, let me be fully with you. That's all I'm asking. Let me blend your past, your present, and future together. Let me exist in all of them. I already do. Will you let me exist in that? And so there's this revelation of intimacy and empathy in the most beautiful way. I am with you throughout all of time. I am with you in the most powerful way anyone could ever be with you, the most intimate way. And so, you know, and even in this exchange at the bush, you know, okay, you're with them. What about me? Like, bringing this down to such a personal level. I am empathy. I am the one that is always with. And, you know, when they're having their exchanges, and I won't be able to pronounce this well, but this phrase is Ehaye, Asher Ehaye. This is said twice. And again, it actually becomes this contraction of of Yod-Hav-Vei-Hei, and it is the name of God. I am empathy. I am the one who feels with you. I am the one who is moved by what I'm experiencing with you. I am the one who is moved on your behalf always. So then we come to this fourth exchange, and Moses says, okay, I'm getting this, but they're not going to. They're going to doubt this. They are going to doubt what I'm saying. They're not going to understand. They're not going to comprehend this. A past, present, and future God, they just aren't going to have the grid for this. And so he says this to the Lord. He's like, they're not going to get it. And the Lord says, actually, they're not going to doubt because of these signs. I'm going to give you some signs that show what empathy looks like, to show that part of my character and my nature to them. I'm going to give you signs that say, God is with you, and he was with you in the past. He's with you right now, and he has a plan for the future, so he's already with you in the future. And so there, one of the signs, and the one I want to focus on, is God told Moses to take water from the Nile, right, and spill it on the ground, and it was going to turn to blood. So as I was looking at that, I just really was like, wait, this happened again and again, and it was like this past, present, and future. So that was the first plague. So when the plague happened, it was the first, because Moses went to the Pharaoh before all of this, you know, all the plagues occurred and all of that. So in the first plague, the entire Nile turns to blood. And it's the sign, you know, is just like a prophecy of the plague. And it's such a beautiful picture of the witness of God, because the Lord's revealing in that moment that everything they've been through, the Lord knows, and now they're going to know that he's moved to do something about it. So in Egypt, one of the things that happened, remember that Pharaoh did not want this generation to become great. And so he oppressed the generation, and one of the ways was through tried to get the midwives to, you know, not let the babies be born. And so another aspect of that is if a young male, you know, was born, they would be thrown into the Nile. And so this just travesty is happening. The babies are being thrown into the Nile, but it's kind of hidden. It's like the Nile is huge. It's so much water. It's so vast. It's so big. It's not like they could see it once this happened. And it was like the evidence of the crime was just hidden. And the people are just living in what is happening to them. But when the entire Nile is turned to blood, it is as if the evidence of the crime is now present. And the Lord is saying, I know, I saw, I feel, I'm not just going to take you out of here. I'm going to redeem everything you experienced here. And bringing that into our today, that's exactly what Jesus did on the cross. That's exactly what Jesus did. I see, I know, I feel all of it. Every evidence of every crime is upon me, yours and those done against you. But the blood is the sign. The blood redeems everything. Every crime against, whether it was against you or one you did that was against someone else, I'm redeeming that through all of time, from the past to the present to the future. It's erased. It's rewritten. What a glorious, glorious God we have. What a glorious gift we've been given. You know, yesterday was the 14th of Nisan, and which is the day of the crucifixion. And it's the day where in that tabernacle, of the crowned lamb, the brightest star on the 14th, is the star that means the heart of the lamb. And just, you know, we still have these signs that remind us and draw us back to this truth. So I just want to go to one more of the kind of connections of the bush and the mount. So in the fourth of the commands, and you know, after the Lord and Moses have talked about this doubt, the Lord says they will not be able to deny. The people will remember, you know, what has happened, what has been done on their behalf. And he talks about this redemption, like we just talked about. And so then the fourth commandment is about keeping the Sabbath. And so that is so much more than us just setting aside a day, which I know that we know, setting aside a day of the week. It is for something, and it is for us to mirror the actions of God, to be the action of God, the sign of testimony for Him, where we tell everything that the Lord has done, and we come with empathy. We model that name. We live in that name of God. We model the empathy that has been modeled for us. We're a sign of testimony for the Lord. We tell the truth fully about what has happened, about what we have, how we have encountered Him. We stand by Him. We say that everything that the Lord has ever said, ever done, is true to us. We stand and we tell the truth of Him. And we have empathy for the Lord of everything that the Lord has witnessed on our behalf. Every time we didn't choose, every time someone lived their will their way, or His will their way, or just every time that there was something that needed to be redeemed, that hurt the heart of God, that you know, mattered so much to the heart of God, that was not the fullness of a people receiving everything offered. And we stand and we testify. We tell the truth of who God is, and we mirror exactly what God does for us in a redemption. That's what our God does. It's like, it's redeemed. I'm standing to tell the truth of who this person is to me, who this person is with me, who this person has been from the beginning, is in their present, and will be in the future because of redemption. And that the great sign of the blood that we've been given, the blood of our Jesus, the blood of our Savior, the blood of our groom, that goes throughout all of time and restores us, reconciles us. And we get to mirror that through not just the day of Shabbat, but a life of Shabbat, being that for each other, testifying in each other's lives to what we've seen and who we know each other to truly be. We then exhibit the empathy, the compassion of our God, and we offer it back.
That's really cool. I love that about the mirror. You know, remember we were talking yesterday about the date being a mirror. It was a mirror date.
Yes.
Not only in America. I mean, in most other countries, right, wouldn't see it that way. But yeah, for us, it totally was. So yesterday in the United States, we see the date as being month, then day, versus, you know, another, just about every other country, it's day, then month.
Yeah.
But here, it was 4/22 yesterday. But the year is 2/24. And so it was a mirror of that. And what a sign that, you know, at least here,
yeah,
what a sign that God would say, yeah, we're mirroring the redemption. You know, we are,
yes,
we are expressing the empathy of God.
Yeah.
Because we're expressing the love of God.
You, yeah,
know? All that is God is inside of us, and it comes out of us. That's our choice.
Yeah. And that was our dinner last night. We got to hear each other's encounters and experiences in the world that is, you know, where all this escalation is happening, and how it impacts us. And we got to feel not for each other. We got to feel with each other. We got to let that stir within us and offer empathy and offer compassion and offer celebration. And it was such a beautiful just reminder, just remembrance of what Pesach is, who Pesach is, why we celebrate, why we remember, why we commemorate these things.
Amen to that.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yay. Well, we love you all so much.
We do.
And just know we're here. We're praying, you know, we're praying de-escalation. We are the we are the down elevator or escalator going into that place of humility with the Lord to see what the Lord wants to do, not what it triggers us to do, but what the Lord would move us to be in these days so that we come to a place of peace. Blessed are the peacemakers.
That's right.
Abundant are the peacemakers.
We are the peacemakers. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Yeah. All right. We will not see you tonight as we celebrate here as a family, as a community, Pesach, and we bless all of your celebrations that you're doing, and we will be back with podcast next week and live stream next week.
See you then.